Asteroid of Fear by Raymond Z. Galloon. Part 1. The spaceship landed briefly, and John Endlich lifted the huge asteroid's homesteader's office box, which contained everything from a prefabricated house to toothbrushes for his family, down from the hold port without help or visible effort. In the tiny gravity of the asteroid Vesta, doing this was no trouble at all, but beyond this point, the situation was bitter. His two kids, Bubs, 7, and Evelyn, 9, clad in spacesuits that were slightly oversized to allow for the growth of young bodies, were both bawling. He could hear them through his oxygen helmet radio phones. Around him, under the airless sky of space, stretched desolation that he'd of course known about beforehand, but which now had assumed that special and terrible starkness of reality. At his elbow, his wife, Rose, her heart-shaped face and gray eyes framed by the wide face window of her armor, was trying desperately to choke back tears and be brave.
"Remember, we've got to make good here, Johnny," she was saying. "Remember what the homesteader's office people told us, that with modern equipment and the right frame of mind, life can be nice out here. It's worked on other asteroids. What if we are the first farmers to come to Vesta? Don't listen to those crazy miners. They're just kidding us. Don't listen to them. And don't, for gosh sakes, get sore."
Rose's words were now like dim echoes of his conscience, and his recent grim determination to master his hot temper, his sensitiveness, his wanderlust, and his penchant for poker and the social glass, qualities of an otherwise agreeable and industrious nature that, on Earth, had always been his undoing. Recently, back in Illinois, he had even spent 6 months in jail for all but inflicting murder with his bare fists on a bullying neighbor whom he had caught whipping a horse. Sure, but during those 6 months, his farm, the fifth he'd tried to run in scattered parts of North America, had gone to weeds, in spite of Rose's valiant efforts to take care of it alone. Oh, yes, the lessons of all that past personal history should be strong in his mind. But now willpower and Rose's frightened tones of wisdom both seemed to fade away in his brain, as jeering words from another source continued to drive jagged splinters into the weakest portion of his soul. "Hi, you hydroponic pumpkinhead. How you like your new claim? Nice, ain't it? How about some fresh turnips? Good luck, you greenhorn. Hiya, Papa. Tied to baby's diaper suspenders? Let the poor dope alone, guys. Snooty. Won't take our liquor, huh? Won't take our money. Wifey's boy. Let's make him sociable." Hydroponic pumpkinhead.
It was a medley of coarse voices and laughter, matching the row of a dozen coarse faces and grins that lined the viewports of the ship. These men were asteroid miners, space-hardened and space-twisted. They'd been back to Earth for a while to raise hell and freshen up and spend the money in their then-bulging pockets. Coming out again from Earth across the orbit of Mars to the asteroid belt, they had had the Endlichs as fellow passengers. John Endlich had battled valiantly with his feebler side and with his social inclinations all through that long, dreary voyage, to keep clear of the inevitable griefs that were sure to come to a chap like himself from the involvement with such characters. In the main, it had been a rather tattered victory. But now, at the final moment of bleak anticlimax, they took their revenge in guffaws and ridicule, hurling the noise at him through the radio phanes of the spacesuit helmets that they held in their laps, spacesuits being always kept handy beneath the traveler's seats of every interplanetary vessel.
"Drop over to our camp sometime for a little drink and a little game, eh, panty waist? Tain't far. Sure, just drop in on us when the pressure of domesticity in this beautiful country gets you down. When the turnips get you down. Bring the wife along. She's kind of pretty. Ought to have a man-sized fella. Just ask for me, Alf Neely." "Yeah.